All right. A little PSA before we get to this episode of Mon Dude. We got approached by an investor earlier this week about a little bit of a rebrand of the podcast, and he made a competitive offer that we just couldn't resist. So from this day forward, there's new ownership and a CEO role of Come On Dude. The faces of Come On Dude are not necessarily going to change with myself, Booby, and Zach. But with this new ownership, they provide more structure and they provide more funds for us to get more people on the podcast and a little bit more planning. So this is only going to be beneficial to the viewers. And, you know, as owners and co-hosts, we are going to accept our new CEO and everything that he has to offer for us. So without further ado, we introduce our new CEO, Joel DePons, and the Come On Dude podcast. So here we go. Real quick, by no means does this change the integrity of what Come On Dude is and its creation. It's just going to bring more structure and hopefully more enjoyment to our viewers and listeners. And here we go.
This is Come On Dude.
And we're back.
Yeah, we are.
Hello, gentlemen. This is your new CEO of Come On Dude podcast here, Joel DePons, who is going to be helping out the fellow Mitchell Hennis, Zach Zabrowski, and Dylan Scherf in this endeavor. You know, I just think that there was some time for change, and I saw an opportunity, and I took it by the balls. But anyways, so I'm just
Before you start talking, let's just say that you're still going to hear like all of our voices. It just may be at a different capacity now, which should help the flow and help everything be more enjoyable for you. And this is who this is for, is the league, right? So
exactly. And I'm not here to be a dictator here. I just think that there's things that just could be more consistent and organized. So we're going to try and set a follow, or I should say a guideline throughout these podcasts to have it more structured, I guess. So we'll just jump in right away with what we kind of always, or you guys always start with, kind of the recap of the games, kind of news that happened last week, and now that it's Wednesday, any waiver wire pickups and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure.
So as far as just NFL in general, I kind of just want to, I will always mention if I am talking the Packers game, that was ugly.
Yeah.
It was disappointing. You were there.
I went to the game. It was a long drive, but like I was so excited to go to this game and just like jacked up when I parked and I got there, and just the atmosphere of like being at Lambeau, like you really can't beat it. Nope. And even though the game was bad itself, like still being at Lambeau, like it's just a different experience. I've only been to two stadiums, which is US Bank Stadium and then Lambeau. But like being there still and that close and seeing those guys play is like really cool still. So regardless of how they played, like we know Aiden Hutchinson's good, and I told you this, Joel, but like he's so massive. Like he's stand next to offensive linemen, and he's bigger than him. So
literally. Yeah, I mean, I saw that kind of a crazy stat. He's like first, I think, in 27th in like pass or rush or no. Something about getting to the quarterback or something like that. He was like number one compared to all the DNs out there, and he's so young. So, I mean, the Lions, I kind of feel like a lot of people are saying they're going to win the division, and it's looking that way.
It clearly looks like that early. I still think the Packers have an outside chance, especially with just how pitiful the Bears and the Vikings have been. So you'll take that win as a Packers fan. And it looks like even though we'd played bad, like it was really the offense and defensive line. I thought Jordan Love was just fine. I talked to Burch a little about it. I was like, are we in agreement that it wasn't, like, Jordan Love's fault? Like, not fully his fault?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was just ugly, really ugly first half. Second half got better, but it's one we got to put behind us. Another game I think that we should touch on, this is a shout-out to our commissioner, Jordan Krieger, who is at the Indianapolis Colts and his Los Angeles Rams game, which probably was – he was probably electric in there with them winning overtime, so – shout out Kriegs there. That probably was cool to watch.
And Puka?
Yeah, and Puka. Shout out Vertsy. Waiver wire pick of the year.
So far.
Bengals are still dead. That's really all we can say there.
I don't even know what's going on, though. Like, I know Burrow's hurt, but are they that bad?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess I haven't really sat down and watched the entire Bengals game. You know, it's more red zone type stuff, mm-hmm. so it's not the full game. I don't know what's going on, but hopefully they can figure something out because I honestly thought they were going to be a Super Bowl contender, and they are looking like one of the worst teams in the league.
I think a lot of people thought that. I think there's a few teams that are surprising some teams. So,
yeah, kind of wild. But yeah, so that's just kind of a quick recap that we're going to go through every week, just seeing important games or news and stuff like that that came out. And then, yeah, I guess as far as going into our games as a fantasy league, I think it's important to obviously touch on certain stuff. I mean, I don't know how in depth we want to go. Everyone obviously sees the scores, see what goes on.
Yeah.
But something to still note and go through. So if we want to quickly go through each game and just talk about, you know, what went on in the game and kind of if there's anything interesting or important or kind of fun that happened.
Yeah.
We'll start with the Golden Stallions and the Penn. So the Krieger's team versus Zabo. Also, obviously, as you can tell now, Zabo and Booby, Doge, Dylan Scherf are not with us here. They'll still be on the podcast, but Zabo had to go through some work-related firing scenarios. Not him getting fired, by the way. He just is with a coworker that's no longer with his company. And Booby is having some issues.
Booby's having a Booby day.
He's having some issues in Chicago with his truck being towed, so we're hoping that all goes well for him. That's never fun for anyone. But yeah, anyways, as far as last week's games go, like so, or I guess, oh, sorry, I mentioned
Stallions and the Pen.
Well, they didn't. That's this week. I apologize.
Oh.
It's actually Golden Stallions versus the Burglarizers. So Adam's team, they played last week.
Who won?
Jordan took the W. He's now 3-1. Adam is 1-3. I mean, Jordan put up good points once again. I actually think if I go back to the last week's recap, Jordan was the least efficient team, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, he was, but he still pulled out 147 and took the W.
Okay.
So he was could have got 189 points was his max.
Well, listen, and this is partially where Joel's trying to run with this podcast a little bit, is that whoever's on, and it just happens to be me, even though you've heard my voice a lot over the past 20-some episodes, but you get to hear that person's side of how they're viewing the fantasy league. And for me, not having a win yet, I want Jordan to win that game. And he does. So, like, I want Berg to lose. I want those people to keep filing down the roster and, the thing.
I mean, you're in a weird spot. So, we'll get there. We'll get there because you'll see the next section of this episode. But, you're in a weird spot compared to other people. that game wasn't very – I wouldn't say anything too exciting. Pretty much Jordan's team's looking pretty deep. Berg's going to get back – sounds like Jonathan Taylor, actually some good news with him.
I didn't hear that at all.
He's starting to practice with the team now, and it seems like there's not really bad blood.
I thought you were saying there's going to be traded.
No, okay. No, like he's back with the team, it sounds like, and the coach doesn't seem pissed. Teammates don't seem pissed. That's per reports that I've seen. But okay. So Berg could get his guy back that he drafted early and piece together some wins here. And we can go to the next game here, which was Baby Waz, Nick Wozniki's team. And show me your TDs, please.
Newly branded Baby Waz.
Newly branded, yeah. That trade did go through. I don't know if that's going to be on the other podcast when you upload it, but
it will be.
Okay. So they'll touch on that, I guess.
I think it was. Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was.
So, yeah. I'm sure Nick has a little bit of... just hurts a lot of all his guys he traded away went off.
Oh, God, yeah.
And we'll get into that when you hear me versus Verge because mm-hmm. I think every guy that he got traded for literally balled out. But anyways, Nick took the win over Jones here. So Nick's 2-2 and Liam is 3-1. That was Liam's worst performance of the year, but, I mean, his team's been dominating all year. So that's when Tyreek Hill only puts up 10 points, that's kind of weird because he's usually like, I just predict every time, like, he's getting 40.
Just the Bills defense.
Yeah.
They agree. The whole Bills team had a good game, hence what you were talking about, Nick's team.
Yeah. No, that was a fun game. That was a really cool game. Other than that, there's not much there. that's too exciting or too much to talk about.
How'd Jerome Ford do real quick?
Ford got 9.5.
Only reason I ask because we've talked about how he went for 100, so it's a pretty big deal.
I mean, he went for 9.5. Last week he had 19, and then this game he got injured, he had 24. So he's doing all right, doing good. Nick's St. Brown that he just traded for had 16.6. I know Romeo Doubs outscored him, so I think Nick probably is mad at that.
But he's also really small in the field, watching him. This is the second time I've watched him. Watch him play the Vikings in Minnesota than this year. He's just small, but he gets open. Like, it's crazy.
St. Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good player. All right, next game here is the Pens, so Zabo and versus the Finches. Lang's team. Zabo takes a win at 156-122. Zabo is now 2-2, and Lang is 2-2. Zabo has a bounce back week because I'm pretty sure last week he didn't put up that many points.
He put up 170
last week.
Yeah, but he lost because Levi put up like 200 something.
Oh, that's right. It was 2 weeks ago. Okay, then 2 weeks ago he bounced back.
Yes.
So Zabo's probably happy with how his team's performing. He also is pretty deep. I feel like he's got some pretty good bench players and pretty deep in running back position. Your boy Lamar Jackson has a good game, by the way.
He's currently the fourth quarterback, and I only know that because I'm looking at people's quarterbacks trying to get rid of Jordan Love. So
yeah. I mean, Addison put up zero for Lang, which...
Less the Vikings right now. Like, seriously, it's just hit or miss. I want to say that Lang has been very quiet this year. Hasn't said much in the chat.
No, but that's Lang for you. He's just a silent assassin.
Silent assassin. he'll get you when you're not ready.
Yeah, that's Lang for you. I think his team's pretty good. He's put up, I think, top four points in the league. So.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Zabo takes that one. Next game was, I would say, our ugliest game of the week, and I think it actually was on the report. But it's Booby versus Bogandis, whatever you want to say, Reed's team. 99-90 was the winner for Booby, so he's 2-2, and Reed is 1-3.
Can I just get a clarification? Reed, can you just really put in the chat, because I thought it was Bogandai. Booby told me something different, and now we got a third person who, like, it's like Bogandi. Can we just get a clarification on that, please?
Yeah, I think there is some sort of lingo. There's like a Bogandises, or like it's kind of like a.
Yeah.
I'm not very fluent in bog terminology.
I'm not fluent in bogs or whatever it is.
But yeah, we could get some clarification in the chat if you guys wouldn't mind. That would help us. Yeah, Dylan started Daniel Jones and kicked him off his team right after the game.
So. I mean, that was the most pitiful performance. I mean, we'll talk when we get to my game, but, like, watching that, like, he looked awful. Seriously awful.
He just looks confused. Every time the camera goes to his face, he literally looks like he's like,
Yeah, like the dumb look on his face.
Yeah, and the coach was getting pretty pissed at him, so that.
He got sacked 11 times.
Yeah, he was getting.
what?
Yeah, I don't know. They were a playoff team last year. I don't know, really.
They don't have Saquon.
Yeah, that doesn't fare well. And yeah, other than that, just really low scoring game there overall. But I mean, they're both our Booby's sitting 2-2, Reed's 1-3. So hopefully, they can. Well, I hope Reed doesn't win this week. So, but that's that's because he's playing me. So, but yeah. Next game we'll go to is Levi, as in the Brazzers Country Let's Ride, versus, new team.
Oh, yeah, rebranded team name
in RIP 10-2-23. Yours truly, Mitchell Hines. He lost a nail biter to Levi, 135-134. Levi is now the sole leader at 4-0, and Mitch is the sole loser at 0-4.
This would have been a great, David and Goliath story to tell after the week that Levi just put up to, I think, almost 200 points. You know what edging is? You ever heard of edging?
Yeah.
Edging is what I was feeling during that game of, I thought I was going to get a win and just, explode. But it just got to that point where it was just enough to tease you, and then fucking Daniel Jones sucks, so.
Yeah, that, I mean, I thought you had it. I really, especially even going in the second half, I think I fell asleep and I thought you would have had it. I woke up to you losing, but that just...
It literally is the definition of Daniel Jones is just bad, because they were literally on the goal line, and he had an interception at the 3-yard line that took him back for a touchdown. And then like 5 minutes left in the third quarter, the game was out of hand. So DK comes out of the game who I'm playing. Breida stops getting touches because they didn't get the young guy touches because it's like blowout game. So that's why I was sitting there so frustrated, because I'm like, if Daniel Jones could just play football and not fuck up, I probably would have won, because then they would have to play football.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, that's a tough beat. I mean, Chris McCaffrey also is. He's a father. Yeah. He's literally a father. And
multiple children.
Just awesome watching him play football. And just, if I'm Levi, I just would be in love with him.
I mean, talk about just a good player, but also in a good system. Like, he runs that team. He is that team, even though they have such good weapons around him. Like, it just fits him perfectly, I think.
Yeah, no, for sure. As far as you, though, with your waiver wire pickup, you...
HN.
I didn't even know how to say his name. Is it?
So Tua, I think, was on the post-podium talking app post-game, and they kept saying HN. And then he's like, no, or A-Chain. They kept saying A-Chain. And then he told the reporters, he goes, my name is A-Chan.
A-Chan.
A-C-H-A-N. So gotcha. A-Chan. So Devon A-Chan is how he is. Didn't really want him. I mean, I was okay that I got him for the amount of money. Probably not. But it worked out. I mean, what, 27?
Yeah, 27.
20. Yeah, you'll take that every single week, especially the way my team has been working.
Yeah, no, that's just a tough beat.
But the rest of them did well. Like, yeah. Zach was texting me, and he's like, your team put up 134 without Saquon. And I had to play Stafford in a pinch. A lot of you probably say Stafford's better than the Diddler, but, like, I think the Diddler has more upside to, like, get points. So it's hard to be upset, but being 0-4 is being 0-4.
Yeah, that's just a tough beat, and Levi keeps riding that hot train he's got, so... Nothing really else to say there. I guess I didn't go through my game here. Diggs now hurts later. Joel DePine.
Diggs.
Lost to Pisscats and Virch's team. I am now 1-3 and Virch's 3-1.
You Diggs now, though.
Yeah. I dig Diggs for sure. Virch put up 189. I had 153, which those ones hurt when you put up points, you know. They don't pull it out, but that's, once again, fantasy.
You can thank Nick for that loss.
Yeah, no, and that's what we were kind of talking about before. Virch this week got Allen, Mark Andrews, and Romeo Doubs, and starting them all. And, Allen put up 36, Mark Andrews put up 25, and Doubs put up 18.5.
You just don't expect any of that.
So all the guys Nick traded decided to go off, and... I even spoke to Nick briefly this week. he mentioned it just, that's, I don't think it's, I mean, it's 1 week, not that big of a deal, but the week after you trade them, you're like, they go off, of course, you know. So, Virts, big W, he's 3-1. I mean, he's...
Some of his other wins, though, are like low end. I'm not, you're going to take the win, Virts, but I'm just saying, if push comes to shove, like in the playoffs, you can't be happy about where you're sitting. I mean, you just trade a bunch of players, so it might be different, but...
Yep. Also, everyone roasting my Cowboys defense going off again. They had 28. Seahawks defense had 32 on me. So. Yeah.
I don't know why. Like, it sucks when that happens, but, like, why would you ever, like, be mad about that? Like, as an owner?
No.
You're like, yeah, man.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's the final recap of at least the scores and everything going on there. But now we'll go through the weekly report,
yep.
I would say, here. Like we talked about, Virch was the best team. 189. Reed was worse at 90. We kind of touched on the players that they had and stuff who went off. Like I said, I actually was the most efficient manager this week, which I feel like is a weird stat. I've been thinking about it, and it's almost like, does that just mean I'm not deep?
Well, yeah, because that's like Liam's team. Like, Liam is always like first or second, and I think Zach or Booby said last week. It's like, well, look at who he's got on his bench. I mean, at one time he had Alan Lazard. Or he still does, actually. He tried to trade me Alan Lazard. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, why?
Yeah.
So it's like when you have Alan Lazard or Mike Evans to choose from, like, it's a pretty easy decision.
Like, I'd much rather be Jordan Krieger and getting a win this week and putting up 147 than being the least efficient manager.
Yes, so that's what's weird about it, because you said his team was deep. Everyone thinks his team's deep. So he actually has decisions to make, whereas like some of us, like I don't have a decision to make. Exactly. Like other people don't have decisions to make. Exactly. Like it's just who you play. So
exactly. I was the highest points in a loss to Verts. Lowest points in a win was Booby. Biggest blowout was actually mine, or Verts blew me out the most. And pause. Yeah, pause. Well, Verts talked to me. Narrow's victory, obviously, like I said, yours and Levi's game.
Levi, that's a fucking nail biter, man.
The overachiever stat's kind of cool. Because, like, we always talk about projections and what do they mean. Because I'm, like, projections, just talk about something that just gets in your brain.
Oh, God. You sit there and you look at a number and you're like, oh, he's probably better. Like, Drake London is a perfect example who's projected 11 to 12 points every single week. Yep. And he rarely puts that up. Or until, like, this week he did.
Yeah, or, like, Pitts. Or just, it's yep. I mean, I'm sure there's an algorithm and they're mostly accurate. If you played that same, you know, projections... Yep. Majority of the time, it probably is. I'm sure, like, there's literally algorithm behind it.
Yep.
But it's just interesting to see kind of, like, the overachiever and underachiever. Like, Verts was projected 121 and put up 190.
Now that you said that, it would be interesting to know, like, if you took everyone's player projection value throughout the year, how many times they went over versus under. I know there's, like, busts and boom and bust. Boom and bust. Like, I know that's out there. But, like, at some point, if they're going to keep booming, they're just going to put their points higher and higher. Right? Yep. So I wonder what that's like.
Yep. and then we'll just recap week four finally here with the standings. I'll just do the top three. And Levi at 4-0, Chones at 3-1, and the Golden Stallions, Jordan at 3-1. Those are the highest because they have the highest points for. Verts, I know you're 3-1 as well, but you have the lowest.
And your team's, it was dog shit. Next say it really is anymore.
And the three lowest teams are
yours truly,
Mitchell at 0-4, Berg at 1-3, and Reed at 1-3. Once again, I'm sitting at 1-3 as well, but they put me higher because I have more points for.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm not even going to go into points for and points against because I don't want to talk about that because
ramble.
That'll just make me sad. Anyways, now we can go into the what we're going to kind of present here in this new Come On Dude podcast.
New format.
So after we go through the quick recap, talk about the news, talk about the waiver wire, all that stuff, we're going to bring on a guest. Oh, that was in the middle of a cough. We're going to bring on a guest each week, someone from the league. Hopefully we get a new one every week. I know people are busy and their schedules might not cooperate. We're going to try and record every Wednesday night. So...
the point's to get all of you involved more, which are all thoughts that me, Booby, and Zach had as well. But being a little 0-4 and just with other stuff going on in my life and other people's lives, adding a CEO type of player to the game will help manage some of that. So
yeah, and I feel like I will not be talking this much once if Booby and Zach are on because that's just too many people on a podcast. But I just wanted to more so get structure and... organization and just consistency
from like a listening point of view, right?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. But being that this is kind of, this was bought out and decided here this week, Mitchell is going to be our first interviewee.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
And so hopefully just ask a couple questions, just 10-15 minutes, whatever it is. Could go on, go longer, whatever. If it's interesting, good time conversation, we'll keep going. But so, yeah, Mitch, welcome to the first interview here.
Feels weird not being the one asking the questions to start, I will say. But, and you guys have heard my voice for a while, like I said, but I'm excited for what this could possibly be, just from, like, my point of view, because I'll be able to listen sometimes if I can't make a podcast with, like, other people's input.
Yep, and but, opinions and just...
Yeah.
Just another... I mean, I was telling Mitch, we already do a lot of extra things in this league, like champions dinner, shooting people with paintballs. You name it. I mean, we're talk about a league that just
is dedicated.
It's dedicated. And we have fun. I mean, it's fun doing this with everyone. So this is just another fun way to have this league, mm-hmm. league enjoyment. I'll start off with just, I mean, my first question I think is just, how are you feeling with your team right now? Like, just break it down. What are your feelings and emotions?
Like, I've just been feeling it since week one that I had a plan going in and didn't stick to it. I've said it before, but like we talked about even last year, like wide receivers are so much more valuable, I think, than running backs, because unless you have a top running back for the year, which can change based on like injuries and things like that, like it's so hard to come across like a backup or like a second option. Whereas like receivers, I mean, Puka, look at Puka, like he didn't even go drafted. And then you got Jefferson, who's consistently putting up 20 points. Jamar Chase has been a letdown, but like CeeDee Lamb, who hasn't scored a touchdown until last week, he's still doing, putting up like 15 to 25 points a game for you and things like that. So going into my draft, like I had a plan and just didn't follow through. So I'm more frustrated from like that standpoint versus like, you know, Fertz is 3-1. I'm 0-4. I think I don't have more points than him, but it, like I was looking at it earlier, like you look at some of the stuff and you can't predict some of that, but I think all the people that are in good spots have really good receivers. And it's just how fantasy football is.
Yes, PPR. That's kind of what PPR changed that, yeah, for sure. But with also, I mean, what you're saying, running backs, like I think that you can find a kind of a gem or diamond in the rough. Yeah. But
and not that my picks were bad. I mean, Saquon and Chubb have historically usually been good when they play. But just, you know, the value that there is at the receiver position, I think, is just far and beyond the running back position.
Yeah. So you're feeling frustrated. Is
more frustrated with myself than anything. I mean, obviously being 0-4 sucks. I'm the only team to not get a win. And looking at my schedule ahead, I'm like, it's gonna take Saquon to come back and some points scored on the board or catch someone on a bye week to snag one here. So yeah,
for sure. I guess you kind of already touched on it, but I was gonna ask what your biggest mistakes kind of have been this year and your biggest wins of your fantasy team.
I think like the biggest win is not so much what's happened yet, but I think it's the league as a whole, that the new playoff format for like the bottom six teams is so much more intriguing that it's keeping me engaged. I will say that as much as I don't want to be engaged, because like you're 0-4, your players aren't doing that great. Every once in a while they'll do good. But the new playoff format from in terms of a win standpoint for myself is that I could be 0-14 and win one game out of the last two and win and be done and not lose the league. Because the way it's set up, like Saquon comes back and say I can find a pick from somebody else and trade for somebody else a little bit later. Like that's why I didn't really want to give up Saquon. I was hearing trades for him, but I probably wasn't going to give him away unless it was like a good 2-for-1, because at the end of the year, like you're going to need a full team, regardless if you're at the end of the season, end of the bottom of the league or the top of the league. So I already touched on kind of what my biggest failure, I guess, or disappointment was. But in terms of a win, like as a league as a whole, like that's keeping me engaged, that new playoff.
So you're playing for not getting last.
You know, I'm always going to play to win, but like it's hard to think about winning when you're 0-4, man. I mean, very few people have been in this spot. Like, it just, like, I was texting Booby earlier today. I'm like, watching football, it's enjoyable, but I'm almost watching the Packers more than, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people do, but like, I'm not focused on what's happening in the fantasy world as much because I know I probably don't have a shot to win it. Like, I knew if I got into the playoffs, I don't think I'd win it with my team I currently have. Now, I'm still going to play the game, play fantasy, and try to trade with people when I can. I'm going to be so transparent on this podcast when I do, and I hope other managers are too. Like, Liam was trying to trade with me today and acting like I was, like, Verts or something. Like, trying to trade rate me. I'm like, dude, I'm not doing this. Like, pretty sure some guys he offered, he was like, Kamara and, oh, God, I just want to look, Kamara and a receiver for Saquon and Scary Terry. I'm like, no, man. Like, Kamara, why would I want Kamara for Saquon? That's what I looked at. So I was like, no. And he's like, all right, what if it was, like, Alan Lazard and somebody? I'm like, dude, I don't want Alan Lazard on my team. He's like, you could take a chance. You could take a chance. I'm like, I'm still playing the game. Like, I'm not going to just give people away, or even if it's a 2-for-1 and it's bad value. Like, I'm still going to play. I'm not, like, disengaged in that point. I'm just disengaged from, like, realizing if I can win or not.
Yeah. No, I hear you there. I think that there's a lot of football left. That's what I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of football.
I mean, Levi said to me too, first of all, my and Levi's conversation about me winning this past week was funny because me just being dumb. I was like, seriously, I will come on camera and post it in the league if I beat you. And that was before any points were happening. Like, didn't think I was going to win. And Levi's like, oh, you could have a chance here. And then he goes, this is interesting. And then CMC happens and then it's not interesting. But it eventually was. But
it was. It was a good game. It was the best game of the week. So you kind of touched on this again, but I guess what is your goal this year? Like, what are you? Your goal is to just not be last, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, I mean, the goal as of right now in my current state is to pull myself out of that last place spot. That's the first step. I mean, it's a stepping stones. I can't expect to win the league. I got to get out of last place first. So, like, in a series of goals, I guess, is to get out of last place and then figure out, like, what needs to happen for me to get in the playoffs. That's kind of where my head's at. I haven't really thought about what would happen in the playoffs and, like, looking at, like, rosters of work guys going to have good playoff matchups. Like, I got to get there first. So, that's kind of my goal, is to get out of that last place spot here, first off.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good start.
You don't want to be there. I mean, after watching Nick, like, fuck, I don't want to get hit with paintballs just because I just don't want to. And
well, we don't have a punishment yet, so.
It could be something
along
those lines.
Could be worse.
Yeah, it could be worse. And guys, and I love that, but, like, guys in this league and group are just relentless. So
yeah,
we'll let you have it. I mean, when we were doing paintballs, Nick, I don't know if you know this, but there was, like, a line we were supposed to stand behind. And right away, like, 8 out of the 9 guys just moved up closer so we could hit you a little bit more. So it's just things like that, that are little things, like, we're going to make sure we hit this guy. Like, whatever the punishment is, if you're in last place, it's going to hurt, probably.
Yeah, for sure. Just don't be last.
Mm-hmm.
I got a kind of a question that I'm more so interested out. If you had to pick your biggest rival in this league, who would you say is just one guy that just is your biggest rival?
Fucking X. It's gotta be X.
It's
not even the fact that, like, when I play him, I don't want him to win ever. I don't want him to win a game ever. There's certain guys where you're like, oh, Liam's winning some games, Levi's winning some games. Like, I want, like, you shouldn't cheer for other people and be like, say this is soft. Like, I want Levi to win. Like, I think Levi's been pretty good and then up and down season, but I want Levi to win if it's not me. Obviously, I want myself to win first. But, like, if Zach could lose every game and be the loser of every league every year, like, that would make me so happy. Just to the way he's so ugly with some of the things he says and does. And, like, our friendship
Tim Robinson memes.
I mean, those are hilarious. They're hilarious, but, like, that zabble. Like, the one where his arms are spread out and he's like, ugh. It's like, that literally is Zabble in a nutshell. Like, when he does that little thing and he's just like, ugh. Like,
yeah, that's definitely, I can see that rivalry right there.
So, like, yeah, obviously when I play him, like, I want to beat him. But, like, seeing him lose is, like, a really good thing for me. So
gives you satisfaction.
Yeah, oh, 100%. 100%.
All right. Well, I guess my next question going off that is, you know, we've kind of heard about your team and everything like that. Is there any predictions you have for other teams in this league? As in, you know, who you see in that? I mean, it's pretty early, like I said, but your early season predictions.
Yeah.
Who you thinking as some, you know, favorites, maybe like super champion contenders and garbage bowl contenders?
So, again, I'm going to be completely transparent. I could be completely wrong on Sunday Six, but I hope other people are transparent when they come on here too. So, like, getting to that point of what you were asking. Like, Virch's team, I think he'll make the playoffs, but I think no one's really afraid of his team. So, like, he'll make the playoffs and probably be a first round out. Berg and Reed's team, like, along with mine, like, I don't see a path for them at all. Like, I don't know where they're going with their teams. I don't know where I'm going with my team yet. I'm trying. We're trying to figure it out. But, like, with those teams that are also 1-3, like, you can't really see a path. But you just raised your hand. But, like, with your team, you're 1-3, but I feel like there's a path for you. Like, you can see it a little bit better than us three. Like, I think us three is pretty much garbage bowl right now. It's between those guys. And so, Levi's team, I think Levi's got to be the favorite. Just from early standings, right, I think he's got a good starting lineup. And another team that I think that could be good going forward is Jordan's team, just because of his depth. So bye weeks aren't going to affect him as much. He'll be able to put up consistently good points, not like, oh, this guy's out this week. You know, you could catch him in an off week and beat him. Like, you're going to have to go out and put up 150 probably consistently to beat Jordan.
So are we kind of seeing a trend here as in the two best, if you're the best paintball players, you're the best fantasy football managers?
Yeah, you could put a correlation to that. I mean, Jordan's good, right? But Jordan's not sliding on the ground, twisting guys and diving and bleeding and clearly Levi did that, and he's getting the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I've got a call for work coming in here, so we're going to take a quick break.
Bang.
All right. I apologize about that. I just had a kind of a shit show at work there. So, you know, that's tomorrow's problem. But anyways, so that kind of wraps up our interview segment of the podcast. Yeah. Like I said, you guys kind of got a brief overview of what is to come. Like I said, obviously it was Mitchell that did it. Hopefully next week when we pick someone, they're able to make it and we can have some fun with them. And
you guys should start to enjoy listening a little bit more than just like our monotone voices about the same stuff every week. Not to say it wasn't terrible, but there was definitely some spots that got boring. And we know that, so...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a work in progress. Just learning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the last segment is just final wrap-ups, predictions of, you know, next week's matchups. So we can start out with predictions of kind of some games that are going to happen. And Packers play Monday night if you're...
Raiders.
Yeah, play the Raiders. But tomorrow we've got Bears versus Commanders, Thursday night game.
I think the Commanders are going to win. The Bears are just...
Yeah, I hope the Bears lose.
Awfully rampant.
Every time they lose, I get happy, so...
No, I've been hearing this a lot. I'm sure it happens a lot in a lot of fantasy football world, but Justin Fields, do you think he's bad or do you think he's in a bad system? Like, bad organization?
I don't think I would say he's bad, but I by no means think, like, he's... Like, Lamar Jackson has a better arm than him, and Lamar Jackson's quicker and faster. Yeah. So it's like... You can't be less quick and fast than Lamar and also have a worse arm than him.
I literally think he's trash. Like, it's not even Lamar. It's like that style of quarterback I don't think can win you a Super Bowl. And I've said that with Lamar too, so.
Yeah, I mean, it probably doesn't help he's with the Bears either. But
yeah.
I mean, they're really bad.
All right, yeah.
But, yeah. Other games that are, I guess, I'm eyeing up right now when I'm looking... We had the classic Ravens versus Steelers matchup. I feel like that's always just a gritty match there.
Oh, yeah. Grinders.
Lang. I wonder what his opinion is there.
I mean, he probably thinks. I mean,
TJ Baltimore. Watts. Baltimore's favored. -4.
Yeah.
So, oh, gosh. Lions are going to stomp the Panthers, I think. But
mm-hmm.
Dolphins.
Took their defense this week. Had to pick them up.
If Bengals... Can't pull this one off versus the Cardinals. They're in a bad spot.
Dude, Joshua Dobbs might be him.
Yeah.
He's been playing well.
Cardinals have been surprising me. I mean, they're only 1-3, I guess. But the Bengals have to turn something around.
Yeah, but like, so if you were watching, or I was watching driving up the 49ers-Cardinals game, like, the 49ers trounced them. But also, it wasn't the trouncing that you thought it was going to be, if that makes sense. So, like, the score didn't indicate how close they were to, like, making it a game.
Yeah.
So.
This has got to be the game of the week. Sunday Night Football, Cowboys 49ers.
Yeah, but even like looking at that stuff, like, dude, the 49ers are so good. Like, they're so good. Brock Purdy is like a good quarterback and in a good system. So with McCaffrey, like we just said, their defense, like, I just think their offense is better than Dallas's. So yeah. I'm taking the 49ers, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, 49ers are favored -4. It's actually more than I thought.
Is it in Dallas?
It is, no, I think it's at Levi's Stadium, if I'm correct. Yeah.
You get 3 points at home.
It's at Levi's Stadium.
I'll say that.
And yeah, then Packers-Raiders Monday night. Packers got to pull this one off.
I think they will.
Yep.
I think they played some good defenses these past 2 weeks, and it shows clearly in the first half, and I think hopefully they can start to get the flow of it. I will say I'm a little hesitant on Jordan Love prime time right now, but it's all right.
I'm also, I don't know how I feel about having long bye weeks almost. I mean, they played Thursday, and now they're going to play Monday.
Oh,
so they technically have damn near, not 2 weeks, but...
10 days.
Yeah, like that's, people are always like, oh, that's an advantage. Like they've got to, I agree maybe resting up on injuries and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But like I feel like every time teams come off these long byes, I just feel like they don't...
Because it's not a rhythm, right? That you're used to practicing a certain day for a week and then...
I don't know how much that makes a difference, but I feel like announcers and people are always like, oh, they're coming off a long bye.
Is that in Green Bay?
Like no.
I was going to say, is that going to be Devontae's first time back in Green Bay?
But no, it is not. It is
in. Is that his first time playing the Packers?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I miss him, but.
We all do.
Yep. So now I guess hot takes. Let's go into our hot takes, you know, on players and teams. Kind of what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know or looking at the schedule like I am.
But... I mean, you can throw it to me while you can. Like hot takes for NFL guys?
Yeah, hot takes. I mean, I don't know. Like you said, I mean, you were kind of already mentioned your boy.
I mean, go to the Jaguars.
You already mentioned your boy Dobbs.
Yeah, I mean, he could get a ton. I'm not saying he's my boy, but, like, I thought he was garbage. And he's just a grinder. I think that Jaguars-Bills game could possibly be closer than you think. Lawrence has got to figure it out. And I just feel like the added pressure, I think, will help him, if that makes sense. Like, he'll perform. He's going to see, yeah.
I don't know. That's another one I'm just like, I feel like their offense isn't clicking.
Yeah, but I think, like, once they, like, it's up and down with him. So I think this could possibly be an up game. Like, good opponent, got to show up. That could be an upset you'll see.
Yeah, no, for sure. I believe, as far as the Bengals game goes, Higgins is out.
Yep. So, he is out. I did see that.
So that might give more opportunity for Chase to...
Hopefully, man.
Hopefully, Chase can...
From a non-fantasy standpoint, he's just fun to watch.
Yeah, I think that's my hot take of the week. I think Chase is going to have a breakout week here.
Okay.
I think that they're just going to target him the wall, and hopefully he just goes off.
Okay.
So, Breece Hall also, I heard, as far as Jets play... let's see who the Jets play. Jets play the Broncos. They have a shitty defense.
Oh, God.
And Breece Hall, I guess, is no longer on a snap count.
Oh, that's good.
So, and Dalvin Cook's been...
Garbage.
Not good.
They signed him for like $4 or $5 million, and he's just been awful.
Yeah, I think he's only rushed for like 72 yards this year, or something like that.
I was listening to their game against, Monday night? Whatever it was. And basically that offense was set up for Aaron Rodgers, and that when he goes down, you're trying to build something different, and it's just not good.
Yeah. No, I agree with you there. As far as in the Denver side of the ball, they have, or I think their running back's injured. Mm-hmm. He's out.
Yep, he was a big waiver wire pickup
this week. Well, no, they're starting, or what's his name's injured. They're starting running back. I'm blanking on his name.
Williams? Javonte Williams?
Yep, Javonte Williams. Yeah. I believe he's out this week.
Okay.
So... Not saying that's too big of a difference, I feel like, maybe, for the Jets' defense.
Nah, it'll be good against Russell Wilson and his up-and-down time he's had with the Broncos. But before you start going some of that stuff, we didn't talk about, really, this is the first week in waivers that no one went for a stupid amount of money. Highest was a $41 bid, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I guess we could go into the waivers and see
kind just of... Just quick, yeah. We forgot about that because normally we're talking about somebody spending $90+. But yeah,
I mean, Berg spent the most at $41 for Denver's backup.
Yeah.
McLaughlin. Is that how you say his name?
I have no idea.
McLaughlin. Something like that. That's one of my coworkers' last names, so it's kind of funny. Yeah, he was pretty much... I mean, I bid $5, but Berg did $41, so...
That's a steal compared to what other people have been getting. I'm not saying he's going to be as good as them, but...
Well, I wouldn't say a steal, dude. This guy... It's not like Williams is hurt the rest of the year.
Sure.
He's hurt for a week.
Yeah,
it's like... like, Nick Chubb literally got his knee exploded.
True.
He's not coming back, man.
No.
I would probably spend a hell of a lot more money on a starting running back that's dead.
How many bids were on that guy? Two?
Who?
Just you?
Yeah, just me and Berg.
It's been a while.
Reed got the guy I wanted. Reed got Michael Wilson for the Arizona Cardinals.
Dobbs, Joshua Dobbs.
He's a rookie, I believe, and he's just been getting targets and staying active on there.
I want to say he's from Stanford, is what they said.
Yep. So yeah, Reed got him at $21, so I'm sure Reed's happy about that. Levi picked up your boy, Dobbs, for free. $3.99.
He dropped, Levi, you should start him.
He dropped off. He dropped Reed though. The Packers. I just love Reed. I'm not saying he's a great fantasy weapon by any means, but like, I just love him that he's a Packer because I think he's gonna be a ball player.
I'm so happy this is going out after waivers go through because, I mean, your boy put a waiver claim on him.
On who?
Jalen Reed.
Oh, like now?
Yeah, like a waiver claim again.
Oh, okay.
To try and get him.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not saying he's gonna win you a fantasy league, but he's good. He's a good player.
At the Packer game when I was there, that one long pass that was caught. He kind of dove for it in the corner. It was right in my corner of the end zone. It was so cool. I just extended, caught it, and it was just awesome.
But, yeah. But other than that, I mean, that can pretty much be our wrap up here.
Yeah. I would say I had a lot of fun in this type of environment with the podcast. So when you all come on here, I hope you take and just let it all loose, because it's more fun that way for all of us, and give your opinions, give your takes. And this was just a lot of fun. So I can't wait for other people that maybe haven't had a whole lot of voice in the podcast section of our league be able to talk about it a little bit more, and it just can be more enjoyable for all of us.
Yeah, and for all those who probably are going to be mad that I tried to be CEO and I took this investment upon myself, for me, just as the man of routine that I am, I just really enjoy a structure of doing it Wednesday night and being released on the same day, and also just being following the same kind of guidelines. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it can be changed with you, Zach, and Booby, whatever you guys want to talk about. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, if we get in the weeds, it just feels like it's not as entertaining. And 100%. Just people, like, talk about they're waking up for go to work on a Thursday morning, and They're like, hey, football's back tonight. And they're like, oh, come on, dude. Like, come on, dude.
Come on, dude. Listen to this thing,
come
man.
On, dude. Come on.
Listen, man.
So, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed. I hope that the rest of the year is fun. And next week's guest, you better be ready to fucking talk some shit and have some fun.
Yeah, let's all root against X this weekend.
Yeah, and Boggs.
We're out. Everybody here is out of sight. They